This is Fed Up, the podcast by Falcon Nutrition, and I'm your host, Jason Falcon. This podcast will feature coaches, current and former clients, industry colleagues and peers, as well as a handful of others that we feel will bring value to your life as you continue on your nutrition journey. Enjoy, thank you for listening, and let's have some fun.
Brad has joined me today. Brad is working with Coach Katie. He has been with us just under a year, and his progress to date has been absolutely amazing. We always talk before we start recording and just recapping what he's done, what he's accomplished. When he logged on to this call, I like did a double take because it's been quite a while since we had a one-on-one. But I don't want to tell Brad's story. I'm going to let him tell it today and try to stick to the questions that I usually ask on these, but this is about Brad, not me telling his story. So Brad, intro, background on yourself, take her away.
Awesome. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Brad Decker. I'm a software engineer for MetaMask, an Ethereum wallet. And so in 2016, I weighed 450 pounds. Coming into 2016, I weighed 450 pounds. And I was at the bottom of my health, just feeling miserable all the time, not being able to like really keep up with anything, very tired all the time. So at that point, I started a weight loss journey, and I went on to a very strict keto diet and started lifting weights religiously. An hour and a half every morning, I would be lifting weights in my garage. And for over the course of a year, I dropped 100 pounds doing that. And then in 2017, my son was born. And anybody that is a parent knows that when a child comes along, your ability to get up and do an hour and a half of, you know, lifting weights in the gym is not going to happen because you were up all night with the child. You have other responsibilities in life, and you can't, it's very difficult to keep on a schedule. And yep. So I started regressing, it took a while. It took probably, 3 months or so before the first 5 pounds came back, but it just started snowballing from there. And with keto, what I discovered was when I had a bad day, it was like a whole week of progress was gone.
Yep.
And so then I had to like sit there and build up, go back into ketosis, which would take multiple weeks sometimes.
Yep.
Just to hit another, like we had a bad night with the kid and I'm stressed out and I'm going to reach for something easy to eat.
Yep.
And so, that continued. I started, gradually going up in my weight again. And then in 2019, my daughter was born, and it just, doubled down on itself. I was also in a very stressful work situation at that point. That was before I worked at MetaMask. And so between work stress and family stress, I went back up to close to 440. Not quite my max weight I'd ever been, but pretty darn close, enough to be really down on myself and depressed, honestly, with yep. where I had gotten. Then in 2021, my late wife and I got COVID, and she passed away in the hospital, and I lost a significant chunk of weight in the hospital just from not being able to do anything, not eating like I had been, which and not wanting to eat because of the taste, etc. Got out of the hospital. Took me a while to get back on my feet, dedicated myself to getting back into shape for my kids. I want to be here for as long as possible for them.
Yep.
And 2022, early February, I want to say, I was at 420. And that's when I really like doubled down on, I've met somebody. We had started talking, and my life was starting to feel like it had gotten some sense of normalcy. And yep. I then, you know, doubled down on trying to get back into shape. And I went back and did, you know, the low carb thing because that's what I knew.
Yep.
I met with a functional health doctor who recommended Falcon Nutrition to me and made the call. And my first weigh-in with Falcon was September 28th on the app. So getting close to the year mark, but my background with dieting had been paleo, keto, the fallacy around calories in, calories out, all of these like, you know, endocrine type philosophies of eating. And that's why I was, you know, still trying to do that keto diet. And my first call with Katie, I remember her being like, well, we're going to give you a lower carb macro breakdown to support your goals. But she gradually, over the course of the next 3 months, won me over to the idea of, you know, there's more to nutrition and diet than keto. And, you know, through that process of really focusing more on protein intake and fiber was a big one, like blew my mind that I could eat, you know, 40 grams of fiber in a day and it would be as if I ate almost no carbs. It hadn't the bloating impact that I had noticed when I would have a high carb day in the past.
Yep.
And just like fueled my energy for the day. Around the time that I had started with Katie, I would be doing good to get 3,000 steps a day. That would be a pretty active day for me. And, you know, she started with me gradually, you know, hit your steps, increment them by, you know, 500 this week, another 500 next week. And to the point where I'm at now, where my daily target right now is 11,000 steps. And
yeah, that's incredible, dude.
when I'm having an off day and I don't feel like doing stuff, I'm still getting over 3,000 steps just because it doesn't take as much motivation for me to get up off the couch and go upstairs and see my kids in their rooms or go outside and play with them or do whatever it takes. You know, and I have a desk job, so it's very easy for me to be very motionless all day long. But that's, I would say, the biggest impact that Falcon Nutrition has had on me is you don't have to go in and hammer your body an hour and a half in the morning in the gym to get results.
Right.
You can get on a treadmill and walk or go out and walk, get some sun. And if you like, when Katie told me 10,000 steps is your new goal, I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to find enough time to get that many steps in every day with my schedule.
Yeah.
But I started doing things like taking meetings while I'm on my treadmill. I've got a tablet out there. I'll get on a Zoom call and listen to the meeting while I'm getting my steps in. Yeah. I got a little attachment for my treadmill. It's a desk, so I can get work done while I'm just getting some light steps in. So it's actually fairly easy to do, and as long as you like do it in small increments.
Right.
But I still like to do, you know, at least 3 or 4 times a week, getting in a longer, like hour long walk, trying to in that orange heart rate range. But between that and changing my philosophy on dieting, because with keto, like I had mentioned before, you have a bad day and you're done for weeks until you get back into ketosis. And it takes, it's like,
yeah, if you're doing true keto, right? I think like you're probably more well-versed because I'm sure you were, I don't know, forums or Reddit but it's very, very popular. And the sad part is most people doing keto aren't actually ever operating ketosis. They're living miserably low carb, like enough to be miserable, but not low enough to actually enter like true ketosis. Like it's difficult. One, the act of actually hitting like what were you aiming for? Less than 15 or 20 grams carb, or what was your threshold?
My weight when I was doing keto, my sweet spot was like 35 to 40 grams of carbs. Under anything above that, and I couldn't hit it. But if I wanted the induction period of trying to get into ketosis, I was aiming less than 25.
Right. And so incidentally, like even if you were just eating like pure protein, pure fat, like just the other two to avoid carbs, incidentally, like it's very difficult to stay under that number. And I think that's why most people, the ones that do pursue like true ketosis, it's just really, really, really difficult and not entirely life friendly. Like,
oh, it is not. It is not friendly at all, and it is not a durable diet. You will hit points in your life where you can't avoid, you know, a condiment on your food at the restaurant that
has
10 grams of carbs in it, you know, like, and 10 grams of carb whenever you get down to a lower weight. If you're not 400 pounds, you're looking at what, like what Jason said, for like 15 grams of carbs in a day, and you can go out of ketosis.
And so, did it ever happen to you? Do you drink diet soda?
I do. Or I did.
Okay. Well, hey, good for you. Like, I'm team Coke Zero all the way. I love Coke Zero. Back in the day when I was trying, like way, way back, when I was, you know, first attempting to lose weight, like I tried a keto diet, and I can remember more than one time going, I don't know if Coke Zero was a thing then, but like ordering a Diet Coke. And if you drink enough diet soda, it's very easy to distinguish like one to the other. And I would order a Diet Coke and they'd bring me a regular, and you take a big sip and you realize they brought you a regular, and you're like, I just totally screwed myself for at least 2 weeks here. Not by choice, but, and then I think back to that and I'm like, dang, why did I put myself through that? I just didn't know any better. It's like you kind of like what she did with your steps, or what she did with carbs, like the slow methodical. It's one thing to have someone telling you like, well, here's the science. This is definitely going to work. Trust me. That's a reach. Like, you have to see for yourself within your own body, you know, over time. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to just blindly trust another person. Like, you can trust your own body and trust what's, you know, happened the last 2 or 4 weeks historically. You gave yourself that benefit.
Yep. And I was totally the guy that would argue about with anybody about nutrition because of my experience with keto. And, you know, that felt like the cheat code.
Yeah.
But I hadn't came to the realization yet that part of the reason I had so much success was that I was putting that hour and a half in the gym, and I was recomposing my body. So my body had a huge deficit that it was trying to work through anyways.
Yep.
But no, like, we went to France 1 year and I ordered a Diet Coke. There's actually 10 calories in Diet Coke, but in America, they don't have to put anything under a certain calories on the thing. So you can actually go out of ketosis by drinking too much Diet Coke.
Yeah.
But no, you're going to hit that point with keto where you feel like you wasted all of the effort. And so every time you have a bad day, you have to rebuild motivation up like you're starting a diet again for the next day to get back into it. And so that's the huge thing for me with what Katie's done for me, is just helping me gradually get there, because agreed, no one could have told me this is the right way.
Right.
They had to pull me in slowly, get me built up, show me the evidence of what was going to happen to my body. And after a while, I was a firm believer. And you know, now I'm not, I don't really worry about carbs so much. I worry about getting my protein in, trying to keep fat a little bit lower than what I like. That was a change for me too. It was like fat.
Sure. Well, yeah.
The macro of choice, but I have been cutting back on fat, which is an easy way to cut calories because fat is the most calorie dense.
Macro.
So, but no, I'm now to a point where I'm, you know, eating a reasonable number of calories a day and not feeling hungry. I have a boundless amounts of energy, able to get 11,000 steps in. And I feel like if I go to, you know, Universal, go to Disney, have a treat.
Yeah.
It's just celebrating life, enjoying the moment. And it doesn't mean that tomorrow I'm, you know, starting over. It just means I get to, you know, look at my goals again tomorrow and just reevaluate what I'm doing. And
yeah. I mean,
have that flexibility.
This is a law of averages, right? I mean, since starting, how many days have you done really, really well? Probably over 90%, right? Just look at how successful you've been. And then look at, you know, how many days a year do you go to Disney? How many days a year do you go to Universal? How many days a year do you get to celebrate an anniversary or one of your kids' birthdays? Like, not a lot. So do the right things most of the time. And do not feel bad at all about enjoying things a little bit more on those rare special days, because what you're doing 90% plus of the time is going to shape everything. And the other 10%, it's just not worth stressing over. you know? And so I think we were discussing that before we started recording, but it was universal in both instances, right? Like October was, yeah. So we talked about like moments, and Brad will share his moment, but things that come to mind are very real world examples, like pounds on the scale are cool, inches lost is cool, but like, what does that actually unlock? What area of life does that unlock? So historically, things that I've heard from people, like my own, the two that I could relate to most was like, I'm sitting right now, I sit cross-legged a lot, like when I'm, you know, one leg crossed over the other. Like I've had clients share pictures with me. My buddy Anthony had a very similar journey to yours. He went from mid 400s, former offensive lineman, college football, you know, mid 400s to mid 200s, became an ultra marathoner like this. But well before ultra marathoning territory, he sent me a picture at a park where he sat down with his son and he crossed his leg over the other leg. This thing that I take for granted now, that he goes, I can't tell you when the last time I could actually cross one leg over the other was. Bending down to tie shoes without that being like this physical laborious act. Not having to buy two planes. Well, good luck buying two planes. Not having to buy two tickets on an airplane. But yours, I think, is the coolest because it's like joy and fun. But I don't want to steal your story. You can recap your story, and I'm sorry to ask you to tell it a second time.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. So in October last year, which was right after I had kicked off with Falcon Nutrition, I went to Disney World and Universal with my family, and I got married at Disney World. But we stayed a whole week and we did the parks, and every day was grueling. Walking around Disney and walking around Florida in that heat, and
in October, still hot. I mean, it was probably still 100 degrees. I mean, the humidity, the heat,
swing, but it's still humid and hot out there. I mean, I'm from Texas, and it was still, you know, very hot.
Yeah,
but you know, you're getting 10,000. I think 20,000 was the most steps we got in that during that visit on a single day, and I was dying.
Yeah.
My family had to go on ahead of me while I stayed back and caught my breath. I was soaking my feet in the tub every day because they were just like ready to fall off is what they felt like.
Yep.
And I couldn't really do any of the rides because of my size. And then we went again in July, just a couple months ago, and I was able to do so much more. I had what felt like boundless energy. We were doing, you know, 10,000-15,000 steps a day, and I felt like I could do another 10,000-15,000 steps a day, you know.
Yeah,
my feet not hurt, not any more than usual, like normal wear and tear, not needing to like rejuvenate them every night in order to be able to face the day in the next morning.
Yep.
And just have a lot more fun and enjoyed it a lot more because I wasn't so out of shape and out of breath.
Yep.
And then
you were able to not interact with, but you were able to like ride certain rides that before you couldn't, right?
Yep. I was able to do most everything I tried. There was one ride I couldn't get, couldn't do. And I'm going back in September to do Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, so yeah. That's a good time.
Cool is the swing by the Hogwarts ride at the Harry Potter world. I'm going to get it back in there and get that last click. They had to get three clicks of the bar in order for me to be safe. They got two and then I had to get off. So I'm going to get that.
So you're one away and it's in October?
Yep.
Oh yeah, you'll be set. So Brad, people listening, and you can't because there's no scale. Brad is also 6'4". Brad is a very, you know, he's a big dude. So nine months in between. What do you remember in July where you were? Like how many pounds down were you by then? Like October versus July?
So my first weigh-in in September of 2022, I was 395. And today I am 313. So July I was around the 320 mark.
Yeah. So like 20-ish percent. You lost like a fifth of yourself in less than 10 months, let alone less than a year.
Yep.
Dang, man.
The difference between, okay, so when I did my keto diet, I got to 350 and I plateaued, and nothing I did, no amount of like being really strict, no amount of doing more work would get me below 350.
Were you tracking? You weren't tracking calories. You were just avoiding carbs.
I was in that mindset of keto lets me eat whatever I want as long as it hits the macro profile and I can, you know, do whatever I need to do.
Yep.
And I'm at 313 and I have no problems believing that in the next 2 to 3 months, I'm going to be under 300 pounds for the first time since I was in high school.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. It's amazing how your body sort of just keeps going. Like you get into that part where it feels like a grind, even if mentally this approach, you know, just flat out makes a lot more sense for you. Okay, now I'm also leveraging the power of neat expenditure. I'm walking more. Yep. Food, I'm being more methodical. I feel good because everything's a lot more balanced. It still takes constant effort. So when I say it's a grind, like you can't just fake it. You're still having to put the work in. But once you embrace that and sort of like just make that your new norm, it doesn't really feel like a lot of effort anymore. And to your point, if you have a day where, you know, you're not hitting your 11,000 step goal, because you've seen the difference it makes, because it's this thing you start to value, because you can interact with your kids in a totally different way.
Absolutely.
You're probably just like me. Like I spent my last 2 months healing a bone spur in my heel, and it's basically total rest. Do you know how uneasy I felt every single day having to walk? Basically, I mean, it was me not intentionally walking at all. And walking is like a huge part of my life. I shout it from the rooftops constantly. I felt so terrible, so conflicted. All I wanted to do was walk, and I couldn't, because it was the very thing I needed to not do in order to let this, you know, bone and the tendonitis heal. But it's something you value now. So like on a day where, on your very worst day now, to your point, you're probably still doing so much better. And that's like, I can tell you, as long as you keep the mindset you have, like you are not going to re-rest or rebound. You would have to really sit with a lot of discomfort, knowing that things that you value are not happening. And for most of us, we're not capable of doing that. We eventually pop up from the couch and go, okay, I'm going to go walk now.
there's been nights at, 10 o'clock, I've got 10,000 steps in, and I'll ask my wife, do I want to go to sleep now, or do I want to get that last 1,000 steps in? And she'll tell me, you want to go to sleep now, but you need to get your steps in.
Yeah. And
accurate statement ever. Like, yeah. I feel right in with myself if I haven't put in the effort. And it's not because, and I'm not out there, hating life while I'm walking. I'm enjoying it. I the sensation of feeling like I'm doing something for myself. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And because you've been at the other end of the spectrum, like that might seem like crazy or neurotic to some people, like 10 PM, man, like, what are you doing going back? Like the mental battles you face when you're at the other end. And, you know, I've been at the other end. And it's all relative to our size, right? Like I've been 100 pounds heavier than I am. And I know the things that I was dealing with mentally then. I will gladly, because I'm just like you now, if I have one of those days where I look down and I'm like, haven't moved enough. And you're probably at the point now where you could stop tracking your steps and you would know, maybe not down to like within 500 steps, but pretty close, probably within 1 or 2,000. Yep. You would know what kind of day it's been, and you would get that same, okay, I need to move a little bit more feeling. And also, just like me, you know, the choices, the action or inaction of today, we're going to think about as soon as we wake up tomorrow. So it starts to influence each next tomorrow. And that is why we end the day on a good note. Mm-hmm. You know, we stay intentional. So that I guess that sort of leads right into the next question. Usually I ask, like, what are the key things that you attribute the progress, the success to? Like, what do you know that will always stay with you now that you've learned from your time with Katie and Falcon Nutrition?
Yep. So number one is walking. Just realizing that, you know, I was a paleo keto guy to start with. Paleo teaches us to eat like our ancestors, but it doesn't really talk about moving like our ancestors.
Right.
Our ancestors were walking everywhere. They weren't, you know, sitting in a car. They weren't sitting at a desk job where they can, you know, not go to work at all and just work from home. And so just the fact that I know I can get these steps in gives me cushion. Like if I have a bad day, but I'm getting 11,000 steps in, if I go over my calories a little bit, it's not the end of the world. I am still working from a deficit. And so I know that I can always get on the treadmill and do a couple extra steps and feel better about the day.
Yep.
That's number one. And then number two is that, I mean, there is truth and wisdom in almost every single diet out there, every philosophy. You know, there is a grain of truth in keto. It's just very hard for the average person to be able to do long term.
Right.
But furthermore, that, you know, there's layers to everything. Like carbs are not evil. Fat is not evil in the right amounts, and protein, getting enough of that in your day will help you, you know, maintain your muscle and keep your goals. So just being able to be flexible with myself and my diet and like confidence in what I'm doing and how I'm eating is life-changing. So I eat, you know, eating fiber and doing things that are good for your body and good for your health versus trying to kill yourself with a low, you know, very restrictive diet. Those are the my main things and stuff that going into this never would have thought I believed. And
yeah,
you know, Katie's been awesome to help me get there and make those mental breakthroughs.
Yeah, I mean, she's an incredible coach. She's an incredible person before even being an incredible coach. Give yourself a heck of a lot of credit too, man, because it's not. Everything's customized to the individual, but at the same time, the bones of the program are very similar person to person. And then we tweak, you know, the things that need to be adjusted relative to the individual, but not everyone is at the place, right? Is in that window of readiness. When we very first talked, you told me about the, you know, losing your wife during COVID, the family dynamic. You really, really, really drove home. You're doing this for you. Yes. And your health, but your kids came up more than a few times and how important it was for you, one, to be healthy enough for them, but also set an example for them. So I think you had the best possible reasons. You had spent long enough on the other side of things to know, if I still have any power or control over this, this is not a place I'm interested in staying. And so now you've been doing the work and it's been an incredible, again, not even a year. I am fully confident that you will be able to ride that ride at Hogwarts when you go back in October. That'll essentially be the victory lap at that point. All right. I see I always run over, man. I'm sorry. Last question. If you had a friend or family member that was on the fence about joining and working with us, what would you tell them or encourage them with? Like, how would you describe how we work to someone that was, you know, potentially looking at getting coaching of their own?
Yeah. I mean, I was the guy that was hesitant going in, but I was willing to do anything and everything to meet my goals. And it was not the experience that I had anticipated. It was not someone telling me all of the ways that I was, you know, doing things wrong, or telling me, you know, preaching from the pulpit about, you know, nutrition, stuff like that. It was somebody who, you know, came in and it really developed a friendship and a one-on-one relationship with this coach that has helped me make micro milestones, you know, every month, that in hindsight, now I'm looking and I'm, you know, 80 pounds down since when we started working in less than a year. And it doesn't take as much commitment as you think to start that relationship, and they will help motivate you every week. You have that call, they're helping motivate you, and it's a give and take. You know, Katie asked me, how are you feeling this week?
Yep.
Do you want to drop your calories down this week? She doesn't tell me what to do. She works with me to develop a plan that makes sense to me. And here's a good example. Like a couple months ago, I started adding resistance training back into my regimen in addition to walking. And she was like, well, we should just keep the calories where they're at, maybe go up some while you are starting this journey of getting back into resistance training. And that was like, you know, mind blowing to me that the trainer who, you know, helping me lose weight, is telling me to eat more in this moment because it makes sense for my body and what it needs right now to be able to function. So
yeah,
it's really a relationship and someone that's in your corner and helping you through everything. So
awesome. Well, thank you very much. If I don't give Brad responses to any of these and say, please say this. If I had to give him something to have answered that last question, it probably would have been worded very similar to what you just said. So that's a huge kudos and compliment, you know, to us. Again, I will say it comes down to the individual being, you know, ready to do the things. Katie has an amazing ability to build very genuine relationships. It's not this thing that's forced with her. She genuinely cares. And it's easy to care a lot about people that also care a lot. You know, we try to meet everyone where they are. And when we can tell someone's doing it for the right reasons and they're genuinely, literally taking their life back, that's what excites us as coaches. So huge kudos to you. I know you're not done. I can't wait to keep following along. Definitely want to hear in October, but out of sheer curiosity, I'm not really going anywhere with it. People often ask, like, the very, very start, what should my goal weight be? And they're inevitably disappointed when I start to let them know, or when I let them know, like, your body will probably start to make that clear, because you're probably going to get about 80% of the way there. And then it's going to come down to sacrifices and compromises that you're going to have to start making. And only you can decide which ones are worth it. Most people think they need to go a lot farther than they need to. And that last 10 or 20% is usually just made up of, okay, can't go out to eat. Okay. Have to say no to this. Okay. Have to walk more. Okay. And it's just not worth it, because it's this artificial set of things that you're not going to be able to say no to or do more of forever. So anyway, what's the question, Jason? Are you getting, and it's probably not a weight, but is a range starting to develop that you could see getting to and settling at long term?
Yeah. So I don't really have a target number, but my goal, because I have been in the obese category by medical standards since I was 16, 15, my goal is to get out of that obese category.
I mean, that's perfect.
Yep. If I'm perfect. Not only would that be, like, literally the first time in 30 years, over 30 years that I have been, or 20 years, excuse me, I'm not that old yet, that I've been, you know, not obese, it will just be that I feel, you know, healthy. I want to be able to not feel restricted in my life by my size. And yeah, that's the number one goal. But happy to say, though, that a couple months ago, but before the second visit, I dropped out of the morbid obesity category, and I am now just in the obese category, which is something that I never really cared about, is the medical, you know, specification that you know, for the BMI and what the target numbers are.
Yeah.
But something that has become super vital for me in terms of phrasing my life in longevity is just being healthy. And so that's my target. Get out of the obese category, and then we'll see where I land after that. But that's number one goal.
That's an absolutely perfectly worthy, probably the best type of goal. Out of sheer curiosity, and this is going to be an invasive question, so you don't have to answer, did your doctor have any sort of, I know it's usually like the medical assistant or nurse that when you first walk in, they take your weight, but did your doctor have any feedback for you about the progress that you had made up to then?
Basically coaching me through it, saying, like, kudos, this was a weight loss facility, like, they're helping me with some of the medications I'm on for diabetes, etc. Which I've came off a lot of those, by the way. And
that's amazing.
So just giving me kudos on the progress that I've made so far, and probably we're looking at the next 6 months or so, I might be able to start seeing, like, towards the bottom of the obese area on the chart. So
there you go. Yeah. That's incredible, man. I mean, I think all the time, like, when someone reports back, like, either the weight number itself from a doctor's appointment, or like feedback from their doctor, but I really wonder how many patients they see in a given day, week, month, that they just, you know, okay, we're into this category that we don't want to stay in. All the risk factors are starting to add up. Like, it's time to do something. And then a year later, like, what percentage of people move back down, you know, through the turn in a good way, And it's probably so encouraging. And there's probably some doctors that are just getting very, like, they're starting to feel helpless, that then Brad walks in and Brad's like, sup, look at what I did. Look at what I'm still doing. And they're like, okay, I'm going to come back to work tomorrow. It's worth it. So it's just freaking awesome, man. I love it. I told you the very first before we recorded that I'm proud of you, and I'm genuinely proud of you, because it's not, you can, we can set everything right. We can, you can have the best relationship possible. It's still a choice, a series of lots of choices every single day, but it's easier to make when you see and feel the payoff. So I will shut up now. Thank you, man, so much. We ran over. I really appreciate your time.
No worries.
Any closing words or anything, and then we'll wrap?
Nope, just you can do this, and it is the right choice for you.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
All right, so that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to Fed Up from Falcon Nutrition. We hope you learned a thing or two, or at worst, had a little fun with us. Please make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes, and make sure you hit us up if we can answer any questions for you. Talk to you next time.